sunglasses on. I'm at a funeral.
Oh, sunglasses. Yeah.
Are we live? Fuck it. Welcome back to the Boneyard Podcast, everybody. This is your host, Jared Sheffield, along with my good friend, Joshua Killian. Knowledgeable soul. Josh, how's it going, my friend?
It's going good, going good. How are you, Jared?
I'm doing well. It's been a weird couple of weeks. I feel like there's been several weeks here lately where it's been Artie's not here or I'm not here, and you've had to step in a lot. So thank you for doing that. Appreciate it.
Hey, I always said I wanted to be like David Ortiz, designated hitter. When you need somebody to get another run in, I'm here. I'm the guy for you.
You're the guy. If you need something to be done, Josh is your guy. Josh, good to be talking with you as always. Hope life's treating you well. Anything fun going on in your life, in Knowledgeable Soul's life?
Just planning the honeymoon. The way we do trips is I get to do some sports stuff and she gets to lead me in what she wants to lead me in. So I got my my tickets for June 1st in Denver to see the Diamondbacks versus the Rockies.
Love
the
Rockies.
Okay. But I've also got that's not June 1st, that's like later on in June. But then I've got New York Mets at home against the Cincinnati Reds on July 31st. So,
lots of fun, man. Awesome. Yeah, love to hear that. I'll be here in a couple of weeks. I'll be down in Atlanta for a couple of days and plan to catch a Braves game. So excited about that. Well, Josh, let's get into it. Episode 192. 192. Anything that you got a number 92 for me?
Come back to me. Because I think I have a couple to come back to me.
Gotcha. Yeah, I'll start. I've got Evgeny Kuznetsov, Hurricanes legend. Now, granted, he's only played how many games has he played with Carolina? 17 games. He got traded at the deadline from Washington. Stanley Cup champ. Been to the All-Star game a couple of times. I mean, elite scorer in the league. And he's shown so far that, I mean, he's been able to produce wearing the red and black. So Evgeny Kuznetsov, he's the one. He does the Eagle celebration. He does that for his daughter every time he scores. So I used to hate him when he was on the Capitals. Now I love him, and I love everything he brings to the Hurricanes.
Okay. You know, one thing I've noticed, I don't really watch hockey, so I don't know anybody's number. But one thing I've noticed is that a lot of the good players have higher numbers.
Yeah, right? A lot of guys go with numbers based off of their birth year. You see that a lot. Guys that have their, like, Sidney Crosby, 1987. That's his birth year. So he wears number 87. And also, I mean, you gotta remember the greatest of all time, Wayne Gretzky, the great one, wore number 99. So you got Connor McDavid wearing 97. Connor Bedard, the rookie phenom that came into the league this year, wearing 98. Patrick Kane wears number 88. You got a bunch of guys that, yeah, they wear high numbers. And it's not like any other sport where you have, like, numbers for, like, all these are traditional numbers for this position or whatnot. Other than goalie, a lot of times you'll see a goalie wear number 30, 31, 32. Some of them will wear different numbers, but those are really the only ones that are consistently, like, wearing the same numbers across the league.
Okay. So my number 92, infamously, this number 92 was last seen last season was seen parking at the start finish line because in NASCAR, he was given what's called a black flag. He's basically told to leave racing on the track because his car didn't get fixed in enough time or something like that. So they were telling him to leave the track. So he did. And he left his car right there at the start finish line. And I believe it was Atlanta. So a legend right now, he's kind of making his way up to the Xfinity series, which is like the second series in NASCAR. So he's working his way up and his name is Josh Williams.
Gotcha. Huh. That's an interesting one. Okay. Good 92. Always going to lean on you for the NASCAR, the NASCAR stuff. So, yeah, shout out to Josh for that. But, all right, Josh, I do want to talk a little bit about, before we get into the episode, the college huddle. So, earlier this week, we announced on our Twitter, X account, whatever you want to call it, we announced, hey, we're members of this new thing called the college huddle. What is the college huddle, you may ask? The college huddle is a group of 70 plus podcasts, fan-led podcasts, just like the Boneyard podcast is. We say we're fans first, and then we're podcasters second. Fan-led podcasts across the country. So these are podcasts from all different conferences, schools, covering D1 football programs. So we've got over half of D1 football covered with this college huddle. And it's not necessarily a network like the Variety Sports Network, something that we're a part of. But what it is it's a way for us to collaborate with other like-minded podcasts and do some different things. With this, there's going to be other podcasts that are formed out of it already. We've got the G5 huddle, right? So group of five huddle where us, the Boneyard podcast, will be on every so often to talk about the American Athletic Conference. And we'll talk with other G5 members of the college huddle every week. And that's something that we're going to be doing. But it's giving us an opportunity to learn and grow our skill set and what we're doing here in podcasting. And it's something that, I mean, we've been talking about it for a while now. And this is something that about 2 years ago, we tried to start. There was a couple podcasts that tried to start it. There was about 15. And it just didn't work out. But now we've got enough momentum that it's starting to work out. And it's honestly one of the coolest things that's happened to us. We were selected to be East Carolina's representative. There's other fan-led podcasts that could have been picked, but they chose us. And it's because we all align with the same kind of values and same kind of thoughts around the traditional media that, hey, traditional media is great. Like there's a lot of great that comes from that, but we like to do things a little bit differently than those that are covering ECU for a profession, right? So we're really excited about it. Really excited to work with a bunch of the podcasts. There's a bunch of big podcasts in there. Make sure you go follow College Huddle, subscribe to their YouTube. That's where you'll be able to find the G5 Huddle. I think actually I'm planning on going on this weekend on the G5 Huddle to talk ECU spring game and also American Athletic Conference Commissioner, Tim Pernetti, but yeah, it's really exciting for us, and I hope that our listeners are excited about it as well, because I think that it'll give us the opportunity to grow our content, right? There's been a lot of us trying to grow content and trying to do different things, but we haven't had that ability with some of the things that we've done in the past, and I think this is leading into that. We're going to start writing articles. There's a College Huddle website, collegehuddle.com. Go check that out. You'll be able to see our articles, be able to follow our podcast, see our bios, all that stuff soon. But yeah, Josh, I mean, you're in the group chat. Do you have any thoughts on it?
Yeah, I'm pretty active in the group chat too. And honestly, I mean, it's kind of weird because there's different types of group chats, right? Like some of them are just like putting the random meme or the random GIF in there, right? Some of them are like just people posting the latest news story, not really much dialogue. This one's one of those like real collaborative. We're all sharing like, hey, I'm trying to do this. What do you use to get this done for yourself, for your podcast? And it's just been such a good community, honestly. Like I feel like Jared said, this weekend is the first G5 Huddle show. So check it out, because I'm sure, especially over the summer, there's going to be lots of the G5 schools. We might, you know, we're probably going to collab and do other guest shows over the summer with some of the podcasts in the group, just to kind of grow both of our following. So look, Josh, I'm telling you, you want to check it out. It's a real good thing. It's a real good thing.
Yeah. I'm excited. But Josh, let's get into the podcast. Let's get into the episode. We're 10 minutes in and we haven't talked about ECU one bit. And we're still not going to start the podcast. We're going to talk about the American Athletic Conference. Last week we talked about the American having their new commissioner for the conference, Tim Pernetti. Today he had his first press conference. Josh, what was your take from the things that he said in the press conference?
Yeah, so I'm going to give a quick take on what our ECU Chancellor Rogers said, but before, which kind of teed up the Pernetti's speech. So Chancellor Rogers really talked about how, you know, there was an innovator, someone who had been in sports media and sports executive leadership. So like just kind of teeing up how all of the qualifications really, really went together for Tim Pernetti. And the one thing that I took away from Tim Pernetti is when he's talked about being innovative and being on the front edge of college sports in this new landscape and it being about the student athletes. I think that's one of the biggest things that we on the Boneyard podcast have really said is like, we love college sports, not because we love the finances or because we love just anything that's vain about college sports. We love college sports because we get to see those athletes. I mean, while we were at ECU, we were in classes with some of the athletes. Like, it's about the human beings that come together and are able to do such an amazing things with their bodies and with their minds, you know, for our enjoyment. And it's just, that's one of the things that Tim Pernetti realizes and understands. And as a commissioner of a conference that's trying to be one of the best conferences out there, one of the most desirable, has some of the best media contracts, I think he's really just the best fit.
Yeah, I think it's exciting to see and hear what he has to, what his vision is, right? His vision is to change the game, to disrupt the game. And that's something that Mike Oresko has done, right? Like that's something that he did in his tenure. We give Mike Oresko a bunch of shit on the Boneyard podcast, or at least I do. Maybe not everybody else, but he's wanting to continue being that disruptor in the college athletics landscape, right? And I think that's what's important and what's interesting, because we all know that the group of five conferences, and really at the end of the day, it's really the Sun Belt and the American, are trying to needle their way into that conversation, right? Of hey, our top end teams can compete with anybody, and that's going to stay the same. That's going to still be the case. It's, can we continue to win with the TV rights? Can we continue to win where with the finances? Because that's going to be what really moves the needle down the line for the American and for the Sun Belt. So I'm excited about that. We talked a lot last week when we talked about Tim Pernetti, his ties with the Saudis and private equity. He even dropped that in his press conference today, Josh. I thought that was interesting. Your thoughts?
Yeah, when he said the words private equity, I was kind of afraid for him, because you can float that, like the media can float that idea around as much as they want to. They can have their sources from whatever they want to when they talk about private equity coming into college sports, but we haven't seen it yet. And there hasn't been a leader of any institution or of a conference, especially, to even say those words. And it's, to me, it was kind of like him saying that and putting that out there is something that he recognizes he has ties to and he wants to leverage. It's like he's putting himself out there on thin ice, because if he doesn't hit, if none of that lands, and if we don't get a good media deal per se on the next one, or like if people start just leaving the conference for the Sun Belt, like that's gonna look really, really bad. So like I think that was a really bold statement.
I doubt that he would say something along those lines without already having some kind of idea or talks with those investors. I highly doubt. He seems like a very smart man, and this is probably something that has been already run through the conference and the leadership. And that leadership, I mean, starts with East Carolina right now. I mean, John Gilbert and Chancellor Rogers are both the leaders of this conference, as far as like the institutions go, right? The Board of Governors and the president. So I'm sure that there's already talks. Otherwise, he wouldn't have said that. If there haven't been, and he's saying that just off the cuff, and nobody's like already approved what he just said, that's wild to me. So yeah, I think the private equity and the investing is gonna be interesting, because it may help bring more money to the table for the conference, and it may help eventually lure some of those other top end schools or programs that are in the G5 out of their conference into the American. So it may be something that the conference can look at and say, okay, we're going to really set ourselves up, but we're going to go after kind of like the NIL, right? Like using private equity, like the NIL, to fund college football realignment, right? Like that's how I see it. I don't know if that's the plan, but it's an interesting thought. Hey, we can help you get out of your contract with the Sun Belt, or out of your contract with the Mountain West, come join us at the American, and we all succeed. And really kind of further that wedge that has been there in the past and has diminished over the last 2 or 3 years, but really kind of put your foot in the ground and say, we are still the lead G5 conference.
What if, hear me out, what if this is in preparation for another college football split, where you have the Power Two, who are really, really separate at this point, right? You got your Power Two at right. the top, and then they kind of have a relegation system where it's those two at the top, and then the ACC and the Big 12 kind of survive beneath them, and have a relegation system where they can kind of pick the best team from the Big 12 for a year, take them, put them in the SEC or the Big 10 if it's Cincinnati or, you know, who or whoever, but have them have that agreement. And then on the other side, you've got the American and the Sun Belt, who become the two powers, and then pick off a team like Boise gets picked off, and now they're relegated up here with the, you know, Sun Belt and American. And then we send somebody down like a Temple to Conference USA. Imagine.
Temple going going to Conference USA. Yeah,
they belong.
Honestly, yes. No, I mean that's some galaxy brain thinking, Josh. I don't know if we'll ever see relegation in college football. I think we should. And I'm saying that as a fan of a team that went 2-10 last year, right? I do think that relegation should be a thing in college football, but with the media contracts and the media deals, it's impossible to do that. I mean, you're not going to get agreement from anybody in the SEC or Big Ten to say, yeah, if we end up finishing last this year, we're going to go down and play in the ACC or Big 12. They're not going to say that. And then the teams in the Big 12 are not going to say, oh, I'm willing to go the ACC. You're looking at like a Virginia. They're not going to go say, yeah, I'm willing to go to the American if we end up being the worst team in the ACC this year. I don't see that. I would love to. I think thinking about relegation is always interesting, especially in college football. I don't think you need it in any of the other sports. I think that the only place it really makes sense is in football. But I do think that it would help. Now, I also think that there should be – maybe it's not a every year thing. Maybe it's a 2-year thing. Four-year relegation. Wow.
Four-year aggregate. Because like I think of it like this. You have you have the research levels of all the institutions that can change whenever they get new certification, new money every few years. Why not just have it right along those same lines? It doesn't have to be every year. It can be 4 years. You can set a schedule so that way you can say to a recruit or to a transfer, all right, next year we're playing this team, right? Or like, hey, you can be a part of the thing that pushes us over the top at ECU and sends us to the ACC for the next 4 years. And then so-and-so can be the next guy that pushes us from, you know what I'm saying? So like kind of setting it up like that and also making actual contracts for the transfer portal. Like when you sign to a school, you can, if you leave within 1 year, like having conferences sign contracts for the transfer portal. I think that'd be nice too, but that's a different story.
Josh, you are piquing my interest a lot on some of this. I've never thought about a contract for the transfer portal. I don't think there's a lot of things. These are all like idealistic situations, right? And it's hard to say that, yeah, that could ever come to fruition. But we never thought that we would see college athletes getting paid. Granted, they're not getting paid by the NCAA and they're not getting paid by the institution, but they are getting paid, right? They're able to make money. We never thought we'd be able to see that. I remember the story from the guy that had a YouTube, from UCF, who ended up retiring from football because he was making more money on YouTube. And he was like, why am I playing football? Like, I'm not going to go pro. Why am I doing this to myself?
And now he's finally playing and he's out with a neck injury.
Yeah, so it's definitely interesting. I don't know if that's where Pernetti is going. I think he is going to try to set the American up that way when conference realignment comes again. There's a reason that it's not these schools pulling from the Sun Belt or Conference USA or the Mountain West or the MAC. God help the Mac, right? Like, there's a reason they're coming from the American. And he's trying to set the American up for the next wave of conference realignment to say, okay, we can maybe pull in some of these schools that are kind of left behind, right? Thinking the Washington States and the Oregon States. We all know that there was conversations there with Mike Oresko to bring them into the American for a year, right? I think what will end up happening is this money that he's throwing around and tossing out there will make the American, will hopefully help fill that void that's left out from the media rights deals. And it's going to help the schools kind of get funding and do what they need to do to be on that next level, to be above the Sun Belt, to be above Conference USA and put a better product on the field. And I think that that's what we're going to see. I'd be interested to see, like, one thought I had was, is there a way for a conference to set up an NIL collective for the for their conference?
The contracts.
I don't know. We need our lawyer on the podcast, Brandon Avery, to help us understand whether that's even a legality, right? But there's plenty of opportunity, and it is exciting to have a little bit of fresh. A little bit of a fresh mindset going in. And hopefully he doesn't have some beef with East Carolina University where he's paying off the refs with his private equity money to absolutely screw them each and every way, seven ways to Sunday, because we all know that's what Mike Oresko was doing.
If you say so, Jared.
I don't know. The coincidences, Josh, the coincidences are there. It's hard to ignore them. It's hard to ignore them. Come on. Mike Oresko hated East Carolina for whatever reason. But, all right. Anything else on Tim Pernetti? Anything else that stood out from the press conference?
He loves New Jersey. Maybe he'll go get Rutgers. Maybe he'll bring his alma mater in.
Yeah, I was about to say he played football at Rutgers. I mean, was the athletic director at Rutgers. I don't think Rutgers would ever leave. Rutgers has the cushiest deal outside of maybe Vanderbilt being able to just be in the SEC and Big Ten. I mean, outside of them, maybe Maryland in the Big Ten. Maryland's
definitely. Georgia Tech. Well, Georgia Tech's in the ACC, but I don't even think they deserve to be there.
Boston College in the ACC. Syracuse is okay every once in a while.
West Virginia is decent, but I still don't think they belong in the Big 12. They still need to be a G5 school and have their power rival like we have with NC State, with them and Penn State.
Them and that rivalry between West Virginia and Marshall.
Yeah, like that should be a conference game.
Yeah. Anyways, there's a lot to be excited about. We're gonna try to get Tim Pernetti on the podcast sometime soon. We've already started reaching out, so hopefully that'll come to fruition. I still swear that the conference has us blacklisted because of the things that I've said about Mike Oresko. That's on me, but we'll see what happens. We'll see what happens. All right, Josh, what's next on the docket? ECU athletics. All right, football spring game is this Saturday, 1 o'clock. Going to be a little bit different feel to the spring game this year. We're going to actually have a true football format, right? Like we're going to see real football being played, not just the ones and twos on offense versus the ones and twos on defense. We're not going to see that. It's going to be a real game, real rosters, and playing special teams, all of that. Your thoughts, Josh, on the new spring game format or the revised spring game format?
Yeah, honestly, I love it. I love that we're finally going back to regular football, regular scoring.
I never understood why we did that.
I will never understand. And I will never understand the scoring system. Like, it was just, I don't know. I'm just glad that, because, like, for me, I watch spring games. I watch Alabama's game. I watch A-Day on ESPN. I watch G-Day on ESPN. I watch Florida. I watch all the spring games that I just love watching spring games. I love seeing the basics of a playbook. So just to finally be able to see that in real life again, see a mixture of players, not just the projected ones, because why would you hinder your number two guy and give him nothing but the number 4, 5, and 6 wide receivers? Like, very glad that we finally have a regular spring game. 15-minute quarters, running clock. Last 2 minutes will be under regulation style. So, great setup.
Yeah, it is a great setup. I'm really excited about it. I'm excited to be there. I'll be there this Saturday for the spring game and to really kind of see for the first time this newfound offense, right? Like this newly built offense. And you've got old pieces there, but you've also got a lot of new skill, a lot of speed. We talked about that a couple weeks ago. A lot of speed coming in. And also, I mean, you got some gunslingers and guys that were highly recruited at the quarterback position that are going to battle it out in the spring game. Now, Jeter is going to be the backup on both teams, but otherwise it's the rosters are set at least. Did they ever tweet that back out? The rosters?
Have no clue, but I'm using it. No, I think they did. I think they did. There may be a revision. I didn't go back on, but I believe they did retweet or repost the rosters. Yes, because Caden Hauser posted on a story.
Gotcha. Yeah, man, that guy posts on a story more than anybody I know. I'm always getting notifications that he's posting on a story. All right, let's walk through the purple and gold teams real quick. Team Gold quarterback, Garcia is going to quarterback Team Gold. And then really, like, I was looking at it. I think just looking at it.
Who's got the better wide receivers? That's really the question.
Yeah.
Like, who's really going to get to sling it?
I'm thinking Team Gold has the better wide receivers. Mainly because they've got Sol on at wide receiver. Also, like their defense.
On Team Purple, you said?
Team Gold.
Okay, Purple has Sol.
No, Gold has Sol.
Where you say that at, dude?
Right over Brock Spaulding. Jari Patterson. Purple. That's Team Gold.
Oh, you know what? Are you looking at the new one?
I am looking at the new one.
That's what it was. They got switched.
Okay. Because earlier I said Team Purple was gonna run away with it, but also that they have Javius Bond at running back. Yeah. Also like that they have Tyler Savage at tight end. I think, and looking at like defense, Deontay Johnson, Sarad Ware, CJ Sims, JD Lampley, like you've got guys, Sam Donka, that are on Team Gold. Like, I feel like you have more of the starting lineup, in my opinion, on Team Gold. And I think, at least on defense, that's where it's gonna play out.
What if Team Purple actually has performed better in the spring? Like, yeah, we see guys that we know can produce, but what if it's just that these guys that have been buried in the depth chart really are just that good though? Because you can't have it that unbalanced though. You know what I'm saying?
I don't think it's unbalanced, but just at a quick glance, looking at what was posted, I think. Like if I were putting money on it, I would put my money on Gold. Now, my worry would be maybe at the quarterback position. I do think Hauser is a little bit better quarterback, and he's got more experience. He's not coming off the injury. So that's going to be that's going to be an interesting part of it. But yeah, I think on defense, just looking at it, defense, gold is better. And then they've got some of the better top end guys on offense, or at least the guys that have been here. I think Team Purple, they've got a lot of the new guys and a lot of the transfer guys, at least in the wide receiver room. And maybe they do come out and show out and put their names on the map, because there's a lot of new names, a lot of new faces on this roster. But I mean, I don't know. I'm excited. I'm excited to see the purple and gold game. I wish we would come out with some gold jerseys, though. I've always said I think we should have a gold jersey.
Yes. Yes.
All gold.
Hey, but be sure you guys get out there at till 10:30 in the morning is when autographs begin. They're going to stop doing team autographs at 11:30. So get there. Get the fresh barbecue when you get there at 10:30, right? Not the 1:30 barbecue. Get the 10:30 barbecue, right? Also, going to the Pigskin Pig Out, make sure that you guys have the adequate funds, right? It's not free food. It's a free football game, all right? You can only have one F for free. Selling plates from 10 to 3. So just make sure that you guys get there and enjoy.
And it is cashless. So
it is cashless, yes.
So keep that in mind, which if you're trying to go somewhere and not have a debit card or credit card in the year of our Lord 2024, what are you doing? You can walk the plank. Sorry, you can. But yeah, it's going to be exciting. If you see us, Josh, have you decided? Are you going?
Oh, I'm going. I'm going.
Okay. Well, if you see us, make sure to say hey. We promise we're not mean. Let's hang out. Let's have a day Saturday. I mean, you got football leading right into a big sold out game against Charlotte in baseball. We're gonna get to that here in a minute, but before that, I want to make an announcement for ECU women's basketball. Karina Gordon, freshman, averaging 6.4 points per game, almost 2 rebounds per game, 1.7 assists, and shooting 80% from the free throw line. She announced that she was transferring out today. That sucks. She was a bright spot on this team for the future, and seeing her leave is hard. But Josh, I want to caveat that by saying, hey, I don't think it's anything about Kim McNeil. She was the one that was dating former ECU cornerback Antoine Jackson, who transferred out earlier this year to UCF. He's the one, you know, we all know the hat trick or the hat game, whatever you want to call it, who committed to Miami and then flipped after signing his NLI to ECU. All that drama. But your thoughts on Karina Gordon leaving?
I think that, you know, sometimes people have different priorities, right? Like, that's just all it is. You know, we all have our reasons for living our lives the way that we do. And I you can't hold it against anybody to make the choices that are best for them and what they see at the time. So just more power to the both of them. I hope that they both land somewhere that fits them and that lets them flourish.
Yeah, I mean, here at the Boneyard Podcast, we're fans, but we also realize that these athletes, they are making business decisions for themselves, and we're never going to hold that against them. That's their decision. Are we going to be upset if they leave? Yeah, we're upset for our team because we value them, but when they leave, that's them doing the best thing for themselves, unless they go to NC State, which that's a whole nother story. speaking of NC State and somebody that transferred to NC State and has been absolute dog crap the last week after getting drubbed by ECU, let's talk ECU baseball. The Pirates up to number 9 in the country and honestly continuing to surge, playing a lot of good baseball right now. Beat Florida Atlantic in the series this past weekend down in Boca. Jacob Starling missed the series again due to an oblique injury suffered at NC State. And he's has he played? I didn't get a chance to watch it last night, but he's probably going to be back this weekend, I'm thinking.
Yeah, I'm thinking the goal is to get him back Friday. I'm not sure if he did play last night. I don't think so. I think the goal was to get him back on Friday. Honestly, I'd probably let him rest another week. Just make sure he gets his body back active, really bring him back slow so that he can really make that run.
I could see him getting maybe not getting the start on Friday or Saturday, but maybe getting an at-bat here or there if ECU's up big. But you don't want to put him in a position where he's going to re-injure himself. He's a key part of this team, right? And ECU needs him down the stretch if they want to make that run to Omaha. And I think that I'm with you. I think maybe you leave him out this weekend, unless kind of like a break glass if in case of an emergency. Right, like maybe that's when you use them, but that's really like the only thing about that's missing on this team is Jacob Starling. But they've weathered the storm and come out on top. I mean, they're sitting at 25-7 earlier in the year. Remember, we had several games where we dropped what 4 games in the span of 3 weeks, 2 weeks, and everybody was thinking the sky was falling. The sky isn't falling. ECU is playing still really good baseball. Yeah, you drop one to Florida Atlantic, but you're sitting in a good position to set yourself up to make a stretch run and make a run at a top 8 national seed in the college World Series or in the NCAA tournament. A lot of talk earlier in the season about ECU during the midweeks. Now ECU's won 6 straight midweek games. And, I mean, really, last night, I'll say it was a little bit closer than I would have liked. But to go out and have a combined no-hitter against Elon and absolutely drag them before sending them back on the road for another 2.5-hour bus ride, that was criminal. what they did to Elon to make them drive 2.5 hours. Play five, six innings,
and then seven,
and then send them back home after just absolutely annihilating them. You could have told me that they played a JV team and I would have believed it.
3 home runs in an inning. That's all I'm gonna say. Like you can't do that in Division I baseball. You aren't supposed to do that in Division I baseball. And the thing is, I've been watching on TikTok. There's a lot of talk about some of the bats that people are using in college baseball with the home runs. ECU hitters are not using any of those bats. Yeah. So to hit 3 in 1 inning, I don't know what else you can do.
The bats are hot. Need them to stay hot going into this weekend against Charlotte. But before that, last night, ECU played Old Dominion. Getting some revenge on the Monarchs after getting walked off earlier in the season up in Norfolk. Riley Johnson has now reached base in all 30 of his appearances this season. Ethan Norby, brother Connor Norby, had 10 strikeouts, allowed 3 hits, 1 earned run, and 4 2/3 innings. Closing it out, getting the save. Absolutely electric stuff last night. So shout out to him. And really, I always think it's hard, especially in college baseball, when you have 2 midweek games and then have to play on the weekend. It's always hard because you're trying to conserve guys' arms, trying to protect them going into the weekend where, I mean, the weekend series we all know is more important than a midweek game. But for Norby to go 4 2/3 last night and really save the rest of that bullpen, knowing that we have another game 2 days later, that was huge, right? Like, you didn't have to go deep into the bullpen and throw a bunch of arms. You were able to ride him, and he should be available maybe Saturday. I would guess he's probably available Sunday. They may not let him go Friday or Saturday, but it got you through the stretch, right? And it got you over the hump and got you where you needed to go. So, yeah, shout out to him. If we were giving out a bad to the bone player of the night, he is my bad to the bone player of the night from last night, because absolutely electric. Just shutting down Old Dominion.
Yeah, I would like to say shout out to Bristol Carter for hitting his first collegiate home run in the past week. I can't remember if it was on Tuesday or sometime over the weekend, but I just remember I saw it. So congrats to him. Bright future, real bright future on that guy.
Yeah, for sure. For sure. All right, up next. ECU plays Charlotte this weekend, Friday night, 6 o'clock, Saturday, 4 o'clock after the spring game. That game is sold out. It's going to be a lot of fun in CLS this weekend. And then Sunday, 1 o'clock, and then, the midweek game next week, we got William and Mary. So, lots of good baseball to be played. Exciting to have this weekend, right? Like, I'm excited. I haven't been down to an ECU baseball game in a little while. I'm excited to get to the one on Saturday.
Yeah, yeah. And I'll be there too. I'll be walking around in the jungle, you know. So
if you see Josh out there with his camera, make sure to strike a pose for him. All right. Softball. ECU swept UTSA, putting the Pirates back on track. Taylor Woodring tabbed as American Athletic Conference Player of the Week. After three great performances, Taylor had a .600 average at the plate with 5 RBIs, 3 home runs to lead the Pirates to 4 wins, including that sweep over San Antonio. Unfortunately, ECU wasn't able to pull the upset over number 3 Duke in the midweek, losing 10-1 in the home contest. I mean, still sitting at 29-12. It's not the what do we start, like 22-1, 22-3, something like that.
That was crazy.
The Pirates have cooled off, but still playing some really good softball right now.
Yeah, and I would like to give them a shout out. This sweep was the first one for the Pirates in a conference series since 2021. So, I mean, they're really progressing. You know, they're really getting better every single week. This next week is going to be this next weekend slide is going to be a big one. They're going to go play at Tulsa, who is currently the number 2 team in the conference. They're tied in the second place. So, you know, really just, I mean, squeak out a game or two, stay in the hunt in all 3 games and just keep progressing. That's what I'm looking forward to with that Tulsa stretch.
For sure. And then next week, you get the midweek game against UNCW in Wilmington, 5 o'clock on Flow Softball. That's all we got. Do you have a walk the plank?
No, I do not have a walk the plank.
I'm trying to think if I have one.
Oh, I can give you one. Walk the plank to Kentucky for not investing in their basketball program.
That's a good one.
And losing Coach Calipari, like, to Arkansas, an in-conference foe at that, who has been pumping money into NIL. It's very clear as to where the priorities are at Kentucky, and it's football. I get it. You want to be a good football program. You had Bear Bryant all those years ago, and you didn't do much with him either, okay? Let it go. You're a basketball school. This is a walk the plank. This is a travesty.
Yeah, when that news started coming out the other night, it was honestly shocking, right? Like, he was one of those guys that you thought was just going to be there forever, right? And I mean, being at a blue blood basketball school and having honestly a pretty cushy job, you thought he'd keep that job, and then he left. He got offered more money somewhere else, and he left to go somewhere in conference, which is honestly huge. You don't see that often, but yeah, I was surprised. So Kentucky walked the damn plank. If I had to pick one, it's anybody that schedules meetings on Thursday and Friday of Masters week. If you do that, you can walk the damn plank. I had several meetings today. Didn't want to do them because it's Masters week. I want to watch the Masters. That's my walk the plank.
I scheduled and hosted four. Hosted five meetings on today. So
that's criminal.
Sorry.
Criminal. All right.
Government work.
Hey, at least something's getting done in the government. All right. Gambling corner. Bad beat of the week. I was, I believe, a total of 3 rebounds away in the national championship game between Klingon and Edie, from a $1,500 to $2,000 payout. So that one hurt. Everything else hit, and we were cruising. Klingon being out of pretty much the whole second half really hurt, because I think that would have helped both him and Edie get more rebounds, which would have really helped me down the stretch.
Yeah, my bad beat of the week is the Arizona Coyotes not scoring in their game against the Seattle Kraken. They covered the spread at 5.5, but they did not hit the over. They covered the spread of 2.5, did not hit the over of 5.5. The other two legs of my parlay hit. It was a plus 1297, so that's 10 to make 157. So you can see where the numbers could go with that. Arizona, can you just score a goal, please?
Arizona, actually, another walk the plank came out, or news is coming out over the last day or so, that the Arizona Coyotes are going to be most likely relocating to Salt Lake City. I mean, Josh, I don't know if you know this about the Arizona Coyotes. They actually share an arena.
With basketball, right?
No, with ASU. With Arizona State Hockey.
Arizona State. I knew it was ASU something.
Yeah, Arizona State Hockey, which, who would have thought that Arizona State has a D1 hockey program, but they do, and they're actually pretty damn good. They're playing in like a 5,000 seat stadium where Arizona State plays, and they can't get a deal. None of the cities, none of the towns around Phoenix, where they've been in Glendale, they've been in Phoenix, none of the cities want them or want to have them buy the land to build a new arena. So they're everybody's saying, okay, we're not going to let you do that. There's an auction coming up, I believe in June or July, for the sale of some land that the Arizona Coyotes say that they're going to try to win. It's an auction from the state, and everybody else is saying that they're not going to let the Coyotes win, but the Coyotes are saying that they're going to try to win. But there's a lot of talks. Talks are progressing pretty quickly for the owner of the Jazz to bring them to Salt Lake City. So, Arizona, walk the damn plank. I'm going to hate that, because you're going to lose the Kuchina jersey. One of the best jerseys in all of hockey. Look it up if you don't know what it is. All right. Current College World Series win the College World Series odds. Smash or pass? The only one on here I'm smashing is ECU plus 2,900. It honestly surprises me that Duke and not so much Duke, but that Wake still has better odds to win the College World Series than ECU does.
Do you think it's so wild that Carolina is so far behind ECU? Because I'm smashing ECU. I'm smashing if I can make multiple bets, right? I'm doing ECU, but I'm also doing UNC.
Those odds, I would probably throw a little something on UNC at plus 4,000. Just because, who knows, they get hot, they make a run. They're still a pretty good program. They've been I think they're top five in RPI. Plus 4,000, I think is a disgrace to UNC, but yeah, I'll change. Yeah. I would probably smash both of those. Wake, I'm leaving that on the table. I just Wake has fallen off pretty hard over the last 4 weeks. And we'll see Duke in a couple of weeks. That'll be a fun matchup.
April 23rd.
I will be traveling for work then, but so I hate I'm going to miss that one. But yeah, it's a lot of good baseball still being played in the state, but ECU at plus 2,900, I like those odds, and then UNC at plus 4,000. I don't like Wake at plus 1,600. Duke plus 1,600, I think that that's reasonable, but I think that they should probably be a little bit closer to where we are.
Yeah, I agree.
If you had Duke plus 2,000, it would be a smash. I'll say that.
I want to see them closer. I want to see if I'm there at 22. If they're at 22, I'm taking them. 2,000, that's still a little too close. 22 to win the College World Series. Yeah, 22.
They'll be at 22 after they lose to ECU in a couple weeks.
Probably.
All right, spring game props. Wide receivers over 50 yards, over under 4.5. So this is how many over 4.5 wide receivers with 50 yards receiving. I like where your head's at. I would maybe set this at 2.5. Just for one, the running clock. But also I think that these guys are going to make connections and stick with their guys since it's a true football format. It's not a glorified practice. So I'm going to say 2.5, and I would take 3. I would say over 2.5.
Okay. I mean, I'm thinking we're going to see some explosiveness. We're going to see some busted coverages here and there, right? If we're really tackling to the ground, those extra yards from Omega Blake and, you know, Chase, I'm actually taking the over. I think 5 receivers could get over 50 yards receiving. Because I'm just thinking, I mean, if Garcia has really made a good bond with one of his receivers. And if Hauser has one busted coverage on both sides, it's easy.
Yeah. Gotcha. Okay. Running backs to score a touchdown over under 1.5. So are you saying 2 running backs to score or 2 touchdowns from a running back, any running back?
How many running backs will score? Like, gotcha. Yeah.
Gotcha. Okay. I'll take the over. I think Bond and Marlon Gunn both get into the end zone.
I'm taking the over as well. I don't know which one of Gunn or Bond is going to score. Well, I think one of those are going to score, but I also think that TJ Engelman is going to get in there. I think the freshman is going to get in there.
Nice. All right, and then lastly, total interceptions over under 1.5. Smash the over. just like there's going to be blown coverages. Yeah. There's going to be bad plays on offense that lead to interceptions. Now, Kane Hauser is really smart with the football, so maybe that's something to take into consideration. That maybe less, but I don't know. I would be surprised if there's less than two.
Yeah, I'm taking the over. I'm taking the over. Just I think there will only be two, one from one of the starters, one of them from Jeter. If they let Jeter throw, which they probably won't, because you know. But I'm saying two.
Yeah, I think two is a good number. All right, and then Josh, your pick to win. I'm going with gold.
I'm going purple.
All right. Maybe when we're there, we can put some money on it. Why can't we gamble on the spring game?
Exactly.
Talk about being real degenerates, gambling on an intra squad spring game. No. All right, Josh, let's close it out. Boneyard Podcast, proud to be members of the Variety Sports Network. As we mentioned at the top, we're also part of the College Huddle. Check both of those out on YouTube. Follow them on social media. Follow us on social media at Boneyard Podcast on Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, and then at The Boneyard Podcast on TikTok. And if you're watching on YouTube, subscribe to our YouTube right now. I think we're closing in on 100. I think we're probably around 75 subscribers. Subscribe. Make sure that way you can watch us live each and every week. As we go into the summer, we're working on some interviews, so stay tuned. If you don't subscribe, if you're watching right now and you don't subscribe, guess what? You can walk the damn plank. Okay? That's what I got for you. And then leave us a review wherever you listen to your podcast, whether that's Apple or Spotify. Leave us a 5-star review. You're a best friend of the podcast for life. Anything less, you can walk the damn plank once again. All right, Josh, let's get the fuck out of here.
All right, y'all. Have a good one.